Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Molly McDarthy Show.
Yeah, that's not right. Try it again.
You're listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
That's better. Let's roll.
Hello. Hello. Dolly. I said hello.
Dolly. What's up, girl?
Yeah, she's Dolly. Breaking the news.
I said hello.
Versus now Dolly Day.
A new holiday for us all to share.
Dolly McCarthy Day has been declared.
So Dolly never goes, she's here and she's staying. You feel the room swing while Love and Money's playing. All your favorite songs from now to way back then.
So Dolly never go away again.
This show is made possible by the following sponsors.
The Dolly McCarthy Show is proudly sponsored by Naperville Trolley and Tours. The Naperville Trolley and Tours has four beautiful trolleys for weddings, bar hops, birthday parties, light tours, bat and bar mitzvahs, and more. It's always more fun on the Naperville Trolley. Is purchasing or refinancing a home part of your winter plans? If so, call the experienced mortgage professionals at Homebridge Financial Services for a free pre-qualification. Interest rates remain at historic lows and home values are on the rise. Their mission is to simplify the mortgage process, and they're proud to be your partner for the path ahead. Give them a call at 630-404-4272 to get started today. Again, that number, 630-404-4272, Homebridge Financial Services. Arthur Murray Dance in Naperville and in Oak Brook. They didn't invent dancing, just the best way to teach it. Give them a call at 630-355-6240 and mention that you heard it on the Dolly McCarthy Show, and your first dance lesson is absolutely free. Do you want to keep your home or business safe? Go to NapervilleAlarm.com. They have everything from 24/7 alarm monitoring to home automation through your smartphone. Monitoring starts at a low price of $19 a month with no contracts. NapervilleAlarm.com, keeping Chicagoland safe since 2000. And mention the Dolly McCarthy Show and you get 15% off installation. We're all about the free stuff here, and I got more free stuff for you. How about dessert? How about free dessert? Bocconi's. It's the kind of food your mama wanted you to eat. They're a small business that is family-owned and operated. That's how it should be for those Italian restaurants, right? And mention the Dolly McCarthy Show, and you get a slice of tiramisu on me, my favorite dessert. Check out their website, www.bocconis.com, or you can give them a call and order a pizza today, 630-717-9530. The Dolly McCarthy Show is proudly sponsored by Sullivan's Steakhouse. Sullivan's offering guests a unique steakhouse experience with delectable food, fun cocktails, and swinging live music, enticing their guests to untie, unwind, and uncork. Sullivan's Steakhouse, all service limousine, where service is their middle name. Book your next ride at 877-GET-LIMO.com and tell Mario Dolly sent you. Neighbor Settlement, I don't know if you get anything free at the limo place. Hey, mention my name and tell Mario you want something free. I think he'll give you something. Naper Settlement, where history comes to play, is another proud sponsor of the Dolly McCarthy Show. Thanks, Donna. Everybody over at Naper Settlement, it's one of my favorite places on earth. Check out napersettlement.org. And did you know they have the Naperville Lights? Naper Lights, they call it, every evening. Go check out those lights. It's a fun, festive environment. And just, you can even just walk through and look at all the beautiful holiday lights at Naper Settlement. Thanks, Naper Settlement.
She's the greatest gal on the radio. You're listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
What's going on? Why do we have dead air? Well, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here, but we have some dead air. But that's okay. We're going to sing a Christmas song while we're at it. While we're waiting for this next tune to come up.
You're listening to the Molly McCarthy Show.
Yeah, that's not right. Try it again.
You're listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
That's better. Let's roll.
I said hello.
I love my aunt Dolly.
And I love you too, Jakey. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the program, the Dolly McCarthy Show. I am your host, Dolly McCarthy. I want to do a quick shout-out to a new sponsor of the show, Lyle Savings Bank. Do a shout-out to my friend Barbara over there, Barbara Richards. She was on the show a couple weeks ago. Remember when they first started sponsoring the show? They're brand new to the show, and we thank them because they want to support non-for-profits in the community, and they've committed to supporting the show because we are all about talking to non-for-profits, and the show every week we feature a non-for-profit, maybe two, about people who are doing good in our community. And then, of course, we've got, the show is chock full of fun things, laughs and celebrities and authors and all kinds of fun stuff. So if you're just a new listener to the show, we welcome you. I welcome you. We've got a bunch of new listeners on Rivet Radio now in Chicago. Welcome, Rivet Radio listeners. I'll have to come up with a nickname for you guys. I love getting your messages on Facebook and on Twitter. It makes me smile. It really does. And I want to do a shout-out to all our loyal listeners on WCKG 1530 AM, Tuiville.com. Those are some fun listeners over there from Tuiville. Happy holidays, everybody. Hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving. I missed you guys. I had a couple of weeks off, and you guys have been listening to Rerun. How boring is that? Reruns are not that bad. Something that we do every year, we rerun every year the classic holiday show called It's a Wonderful Life. It is my favorite show. I mean, I'm sure it is for most of America. This is the classic American holiday program every year. It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. And I'm really excited today because in the studio we have Carolyn Grimes, who was little Zuzu Bailey on the show, It's a Wonderful Life. Do you remember her, what she said?
Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
And that was not a recording. That was live. Carolyn, that was perfect. Perfect. An Academy Award for that performance. You sounded the same. You sounded like you were 4 years older. How do you do it? I'm so thrilled. thrilled to have you in the studio. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And happy holidays to you. It's the kickoff of the holiday season. It's so good to be back on the show, and I'm kicking off the holiday season with little Zuzu in the studio. Do people call you Zuzu still?
Yes, they do. My grandkids call me Grandma Zuzu.
Oh, so that doesn't bother you at all, huh?
Oh, heavens no. That's who I am.
That's so nice that you celebrate, you know, something that you did over, what, oh, how many years has it been now?
It will be 70 years next year. The 70th anniversary is next year.
70 years? Oh, yes. I almost said 67. Where did I come up with 67? I don't know. But
that's
70
close.
Years?
Uh-huh.
Holy cow. Can you believe it's been that long?
Not really.
And you look amazing, by the way. I'm not going to ask your age, but I will tell you.
I'm 75.
Golly. You look gorgeous, just beautiful. And you were so adorable in that movie. Everybody, I think that was everybody, besides Jimmy Stewart, I think that was everybody's second best favorite character in the movie.
Well, I don't know. Donna Reed has a lot of fans.
Yeah, she does. She does. Did she pass away? Is she still alive?
1985.
Mm-hmm. You know, I should do my homework before I have Zuzu. After her stint with Dallas. Okay, we also have folks from the Hollywood Palms, and Donica is here from the Hollywood Palms, and Gina is here as well. Gina, get on the mic. And, you know, this weekend is a special weekend. It's the showing of It's a Wonderful Life. It's an annual holiday tradition out in the southwest suburbs at the Hollywood Palms. They put on It's a Wonderful Life every year. And Carolyn Grimes will be there. Little Zuzu will be there, sign autographs, and bring your memorabilia, right?
Absolutely.
Tell us more about it, Donica. This weekend, what's going on?
Every year we run It's a Wonderful Life at Hollywood Palms. It's a big holiday tradition at our theater. We look forward to it every year. And Carolyn Grimes is going to be at the theater on Friday and Saturday, December 4th and December 5th. She will be introducing each of the shows. She'll be meeting all the fans in her lobby as well. She'll be there up to an hour before each of the showtime starts. And we'll have memorabilia. You'll be able to take photographs with her. She'll be signing autographs. And we're really looking forward to having her in everyone.
Memorabilia, that's an understatement of the Hollywood Palms. There is memorabilia in every square inch of that place. If you've never been to this theater, you've got to see it. It is definitely a field trip. You know, you don't just go for a movie. You go for the experience. And this weekend, quite the experience you're going to have with little Zuzu Bailey, Carolyn Grimes there.
It's my pleasure to tell people what to look for when they watch the movie, you know, the mistakes behind the scenes.
I've never caught a mistake. Tell us a mistake that was...
Well, there's this blatant mistake where George has the Christmas wreath around his arm, and he's going to go into the Bailey Building alone. So he crosses the street, he goes into the office, he throws the wreath on the table, on the desk, and then very next scene, he's got the wreath on his arm, and he's talking on the phone to Harry.
Oh, I never caught that!
Oh, there's many.
Oh, what a riot! I'm going to have to look for that now. Are there any other mistakes that are just so obvious that you can't believe that I even have
Well,
that
at
up?
The very beginning, when George is concerned as a young boy about the poison pills, he runs over to ask his dad what to do, and he goes in there, and there's Mr. Potter bearing down on his dad, and you'll see that Mr. Potter's caregiver, that pushes his wheelchair all around. Each scene, he flips from one side to the other side of the chair.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
You don't notice it, but when you know it's there, you kind of look for it. Because
wow.
It's really funny. Yeah, he's on one side, and then the very next scene, he's on the other side. And, you know, it's really funny.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you were 4 years old when you made
six.
The move. Oh, you were six.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, again, Dolly, do your homework. How about that? I thought I read four. But anyway,
well, I was
so
four
do you
when
remember?
I started.
Okay,
movies.
That's when you.
I'd already done four movies before I did this one, so I'm
that's
a
what
veteran.
It was. I read my notes at like 2 a.m. So I go to sleep and I start dreaming of other things. No, Carolyn. So you were six. Do you remember being on the set?
Oh, of course.
Or just
yeah.
You remember from pictures or your mother?
Oh no. I remember because you know every movie was a job, a different job, and of course this one had snow.
Was it real snow?
No.
But
to me,
so
it was fabulous because, you know, it doesn't snow in Hollywood. So I'd never seen anything like it. So I really remember that very much. And I was an only child, and we always had a very small Christmas tree, maybe 2 feet high, sitting on a table. And so with this great big, huge Christmas tree all decorated in the living room
wow.
stage, it's wonderful. Wow. I just really... had a great time.
When did you realize, or maybe you knew all along, that you were part of something big? I remember then, I heard that this movie was a box office flop, and now, I mean, did you ever realize how old were you when you realized this is huge? I'm a part of something very magical. I don't think it really became what it is today until, like, was it the 1970s?
It started in 1970. They didn't renew the copyright, so it became public domain, so it was free. So all little television stations across America could show it, and it didn't cost anything.
That's why.
So that's how we got exposed to the film. And in 1980, someone knocked on my door and said, "Were you that little girl that was in the movie? And were you Zuzu?" And I said, "Yes, yes, I was." And so he said, "Can we have an interview?" And I said, "Okay." So I went to the basement and dug all my memorabilia up. And the next week, the same thing happened. It kept happening, and I finally thought, "I'm 40 years old. I'm getting fan mail. I've been out of Hollywood for all these years. What's going on?" So I actually sat down and watched the movie.
Wow.
I was 40 before I saw it.
Oh, my goodness.
The very first time, right? Your very first time.
Yeah. That's Gina talking from the Hollywood Palms. Hi, Gina. I got a monitor blocking you. Adorable Gina at the Hollywood Palms. She's here today, too. Well, thank you, Hollywood Palms, for putting this on again on the big screen. I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life on the big screen, so I'm looking forward to seeing that
experience. Oh, it's so
exciting.
You feel like you're right there, right in the room with them, and right a part of this whole story. It's wonderful.
Oh, my God, Zuzu, I'm just still trying to get over the fact that you hadn't seen the movie till you were 40 years old.
That's true.
Holy cow. And so you probably then realized at 40, wow, this is epic. This is something I'm a part of something.
Yes.
But
yes.
You didn't know when you were six, though, at the time.
Oh, heavens no. No one. It was a box office flop. It sat on the shelf for 20-some years.
When you were a teenager or in your 20s, did you tell people, "Oh, I was in It's a Wonderful Life"?
Oh,
that was me.
No.
No. Really? What was it like working with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed?
Well, you know, they were really kind and gentle and very patient. Especially, I had all my scenes pretty much with him. And he was a deer. He was an absolute deer. He was 6'4". And I'm on his back, in his arms, I mean, always, you know, hanging around him. Huh. So he made it a point to build a good chemistry. He really did. He wanted that to happen because, you know, my petals are in the movie longer than I am.
Where are those petals today? People were Facebooking, messaging me, asking about the petals.
Well, you know, I'm sure they got thrown away. If I had those petals today, I would put them in the Smithsonian because they
Absolutely.
Would truly be a piece of movie history.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Now, years later, you're 40. And the movie is starting to, you know, explode mm-hmm. across America, and it's becoming everybody's favorite holiday tradition. Did you and Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, everybody, did the cast ever reconnect?
We had a couple of reunions in the 90s, but Donna Reed had already gone by then. Mm-hmm. And so it was just very few people left, actually. Mm-hmm.
What memorabilia do you have from the movie? You said something about it being in the basement. What did you have?
Oh, well, I had a lot of things that my mother had saved from the film, making the film. And, you know, magazine articles, newspaper articles,
okay.
and things like that. So she had all...
Not the wreath that was on Jimmy Stewart's arm.
No, no. But she had original stills and things like that. So, you know, it was a lot of stuff in the trunk down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I now have donated it to the It's a Wonderful Life Museum in Seneca Falls, New York. So all of my... Well, pretty much all of my collection is on display there, so it's on exhibition in the museum. It's the only one in the country, so it's really a lot of fun for people to go in and see it, and it's growing and growing. It started mm-hmm. in 2010, so we're having a lot of fun with
yeah.
it.
And the movie is just priceless. I mean, it's precious, the message and the... Even the mistakes, you know, I don't think it even matters, you know, that there's mistakes.
Well, that's true. You know, and Frank Capra was a perfectionist. And
you remember him? Do you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He used to get down on his knees and look into my eyes and say, "This is what I want you to do. You haven't seen your dad in a long time, and you really think about this, and you come out that door, and you're so happy to see him." And, you know, that's just the way he worked. But I mean, the whole story is it's about... the goodness and the morals that, you know, values that we've lost, kind of. So
mm-hmm.
it's something we can pick up on. And this little girl is just a part of that. And you want to remember her because of the fact that she is special.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Stewart found me in the 80s. He had a secretary look for me because people were looking for this little girl. And so we reconnected in the 80s.
Oh.
And then... we really had a great tour for the Target Company in 1993. We traveled all over and met people. And that's when I first found out how beloved this film was to people all over the United States.
Yeah.
And now I get all kinds of email from Europe and Australia. It's the second favorite Christmas movie in England. So, you know, this is, it's gone across the water.
Yeah, it's not just an American
it appeals to,
tradition
to
now,
everyone.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly does.
It's,
yeah.
It's got so much. It's timeless.
Yeah. Do you remember trying to memorize your lines? How hard was that at 6 years old?
Oh, it was a breeze. You know, when you're little and young,
yeah,
your
you
mind
everything.
Is like a sponge. You know, it's great. But I will never forgive Frank Capra because he didn't teach me the words to Old Dang Sign. I would have learned them in a New York second. At the end of the movie, I'm going, blah, 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 you know, and I'm doing it loudly.
That's how everyone sings Old Dang Sign.
Anybody.
You, of all people, should know Old Dang Sign. He's not Scottish, but you should know it.
Are you Scottish, Donna?
No,
or
he's
Irish.
I'm Irish, but evidently they're the same. So.
Well, you're across the pond. So in Ireland, is it popular just like it is in America?
It's Wonderful Life is popular over there as well. When I was growing up, it wasn't as big of a thing, but it's just when something as pervasive in American culture, it finds its way into the films and everything like that. So, of course, we all know It's a Wonderful Life because everyone in Christmas movies from America watches It's a Wonderful Life every year. And as a result, that really kind of fed us as well. Everyone over there knows the movie as well, and it's a big hit over there as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, what was the best part about being a part of the movie, Carolyn?
Today.
Today? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Today is the best part.
The celebrating of the message and the lessons of the movie.
Seeing
and
how it's affected so many people's lives. I mean, mm-hmm. it's saved lives. I mean, I've had so many people tell me they were on the bridge and they watched this movie and it changed their lives.
Yeah.
I mean, how wonderful, how much of an impact it's had on humanity. So today, for me to be a part of this film is a very gracious thing and very much of a blessing for me. That's the way I feel.
It sounds like you've had a wonderful life. Have you had a wonderful life?
Life is what you make it. And no, not necessarily so. I've had a lot of tragedy in my life. I got out of Hollywood. I was orphaned at the age of 15. My mother died. My father got killed. I've had a lot of deaths and things to deal with over my life. And you know what? There's always tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like part of people watching the film is the inspiration they get and the encouragement to live their life. It's really good.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
And giving, helping others is what saves you, always. And that's what George did. He gave and gave and gave.
Ain't that the truth?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. So what's the message when you're traveling around and you're meeting people, what's the main message that you want people to walk away from?
I want people to know that each life touches another.
Oh, yeah. That sounds familiar.
It's true.
Okay, Clarence.
And we all make a difference. And we all matter. That's the whole thing. We
Absolutely.
Can change anybody's life. I mean, we have that power.
Yeah.
So it's important that we live our life and do for others. And I think this movie is a great inspirational design for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this weekend is it sold out yet? Are tickets still available?
Tickets are still available on HollywoodPalmCinema.com. We still have several tickets available to many of the showtimes. And like I was saying, it's on Friday, December 4th and Saturday, December 5th. She'll also be appearing at the Genesee Theatre in Waukegan on Sunday for a couple of shows as well. So you can look up the Genesee Theatre online and they have information about that too.
Is it the same owners as the Hollywood Palms?
Oh, no.
I would say, but it's very nice of you to plug another
station. No, we're sharing her.
Oh, listen, let me tell you. I've got three gigs here in Chicago this week. Yes, yes.
Just three? I would think there'd be more. There's going
to
be one.
Well, I have to go to New York after that. So. There's a bank that's going to bring me in to Oswego called the Allied First. And they have a loan that they give to people for a second chance for a wonderful life. And it's called the Zuzu Loan.
Oh, I got goosebumps. I want to cry.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, it is a wonderful life. It really is. That is so. What's the bank name again?
Allied First.
Allied First.
In Oswego.
Oh, I love that. That is so fantastic.
Cool? I mean, it just touches so many.
So what are you doing these days when you're not touring about, you know, with It's a Wonderful Life, memorabilia, meeting people in relation to the show? What are you doing?
Year round.
Do you really? Mm-hmm. Is it year round?
Pretty much.
I could see that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I once watched It's a Wonderful Life in July. I think I was in my early 20s.
It's
and
a good movie
I was having a George Bailey moment.
Yes.
you know, and I just put that on and I felt instantly better, you know.
It does. It makes it happen. And you always cry, even though you know how it's going to end.
Oh, my goodness. Just, every time. Absolutely.
But it's a good cry, and it feels good, and makes you feel like you're a part of that family.
Now, your children, how many children do you have? Do you have any children
and
grandchildren?
Four children.
Four children. Mm-hmm. Now, do they go around and tell their friends, my mom was Zuzu. How was that? Oh,
no.
When that was going on. That was really popular.
No.
No,
no.
They don't brag about you. See, my kids are the same way. They don't brag about me at all. No. But I'm just Dolly McCarthy. I'm not Zuzu Billy.
You're just mom. I'm just mom.
Yeah.
And that's the way they grew up, and that's the way it is.
But they're probably very proud that you were a part of something very magical and special in Americana in the world now.
Well, sometimes they use the Zuzu card if they need it.
I would. Can we get front row in the It's a Wonderful Life showing at the Hollywood Palms? I'm going to try that this weekend at the Hollywood Palms. I'm related to her. It's too funny. Oh, my God. Well, what a blessing. And it's so nice to have you in the studio. I had it's a wonderful life moment. I always said I wanted to have two dogs named George and Bailey. George Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much that movie has impacted me in my life. And I know a lot of people, you know, same way, too.
There's a lot of dogs named Zuzu.
Maybe I'll have a third Zuzu. We'll have to do that. Now that I've met you, I'm so in love with you now. But, you know, your character was just so precious in the movie. And I had an It's a Wonderful Life moment this morning. I've lived in Naperville for 22 years. Prior to that, I grew up on the northwest side of Chicago. I've mentioned that on the show before. But 22 years in Naperville. Oh, by the way, I don't have ADD, but Carolyn has this It's a Wonderful Life phone cover. It's so adorable. I got to take a picture of that with you. You got to check it out. But I was in Naperville, back in the old neighborhood. I moved away from Naperville, moved to Park Ridge, closer to my family, you know, with working 6 days a week. I wanted to be closer to the city, and it was very hard to leave Naperville. But today I went back and went to the old Starbucks on Jefferson and Main Street, and I ran into so many people. It's amazing, and I felt like It's a Wonderful Life. I ran into all these people that, you know, don't know really anything about me other than our conversations we have at the Starbucks, and, you know, and even walking to the Einstein. I went with my daughter, you know, she had an ortho appointment. Just running into old friends, and it just made me feel so good, like one of those, like George Bailey walking through.
It's community.
It's community.
It's Naperville.
Yeah, but it's also like, just like the movie. Community, you know, people all just happy to see you. Mm-hmm. They don't have much, but they're just happy to see you. It felt so wonderful to be back. And sometimes people call it, we have a picture of Naperville with all the lights, and it looks like It's a Wonderful Life.
Cool.
I should send that to you. I'll send that to you. But so I felt like, you know, George Bailey back in Naperville and my old town, and just so wonderful, these people here in this community. I can't say enough good things. It's sad to leave it, but I'm never going to leave. I'll always come and visit. But, you know, this town gives so much, and just the spirit of this town is just like Bedford Falls. It reminds me so much of that community.
They sure have a wonderful theater called the Hollywood Palms.
Yes, and the Hollywood Palms. And speaking of giving.
It's really different. It's unusual, and it's a treat to go there.
It really is. I was just there this past weekend to see the Mockingjay.
Mockingjay Part 2.
Mockingjay with my girls. Oh, my God, it was fantastic. I was in the very front. My seat was reclined. I almost fell asleep. I was so relaxed. But talk about a community that gives, and Hollywood Palms is a big part of that, too. Every Monday, if you're a veteran, can I just say this, guys? And I always plug this on the show. Sure. They don't pay me, but you probably should pay me for this, right? But I love that you give back to the veterans. In this show, we love to feature any group that supports our veterans and military. And every Monday, if you're a veteran, you get in for free at the Hollywood Palms. And, you know, if you want to go in any day of the week and you mention the Dolly McCarthy Show and you're a veteran, I will pay for your ticket. I will. Because it's all about giving back. I don't have much, but what I have, the little that I have, I want to give away. I mean, I know a lot of people feel the same way, too. It's not all about money, folks, and all for ourselves. There are lots of people, lots of good out there. What happened yesterday in California, what happened with ISIS, what happened, you know, in Paris, it's so sad to see all this, and it's so easy to say the world is evil and there's so much bad and I'm just going to shut the door and shut everybody out. And It's a Wonderful Life reminds us all that it's about community and second chances and never giving up and Earl, and I'm
That's
talking
it.
Too much. We all want to hear
no,
you,
no,
not
no,
me.
No, you're very, very correct.
We're here to hear you and these messages and these lessons that we've learned from the movie, and they just are timeless, and they keep going on and on and on. But we can't get enough of it. We always have to be reminded of it.
Oh, yes. Oh,
you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's no way they could ever remake this movie.
No. Can't remake it. I'd like to see a sequel come along, though.
Ah! You would be like the Donna Reed. You know, of the
well,
movie.
There are a couple out there that they're working on, trying to get financing for. There yeah. are. And I like them. I think they're great. They
yeah.
answer some of the questions.
Well, I don't want you to go, Zuzu. I love having you. Would you stick around for the next half hour? We do have Jim Gibbons. He's a historian in Chicago about, oh, boy, let's see. I'll tell you, about 57 years ago, almost 60 years ago, not the Great Chicago Fire. That was over 150 years ago, right there, Jim? What year was that? The Chicago Fire. I'm jumping all over the place. We're talking about great fires in Chicago. Well, this was the second biggest fire in Chicago, and hopefully the last. Our Lady of the Angels School caught fire back in 1958. This was 57 years ago. Can you believe it? That long ago. I remember growing up, my mother, that was her parish,
mm-hmm.
and her sisters and brothers were in that fire. Jim, I didn't tell you this. And they got out, but she was telling me about mothers at home running down the streets without winter coats. This happened December 1st, 1958, and 57 years ago, December 1st. And luckily, my aunts and uncles got out, but their best friend, Frank Piscopo, never made it out. And we honor Frank. His family, to this day, we always talk about Frank. We remember him, you know. And there were 92 children that perished and three nuns. And so anyway, Jim is a historian, and he's presented about the Our Lady of the Angels fire that happened and the lessons learned and the lives that were lost. And so we're going to talk to Jim about that in just a few. But we've been having a really good time talking to Carolyn Grimes about her role as Zuzu Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. It sure is a wonderful life. It's been great to have you on the show.
Well,
thank you very much
for having me.
And have a great time this weekend at the Hollywood Palms.
Oh, I'm going to.
Yeah, now, is this the first year doing this, or have you done it since
I've been doing it since the theater was built.
Okay. Yeah.
This is the 13th year that Carolyn Grimes is coming out to Hollywood on this tour.
This is your 13th year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I know you've been out before, but I didn't know. Every year? 13 years. Wow. That's
pretty
fantastic.
Pretty nice tradition.
And we're hoping for about 25 more.
A lot of families make it their tradition. They come every
year.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's really kind of cool.
Oh, yes. They definitely do. And I know the there's other theaters that do it, but, you know, Hollywood Palms does it upright. They've got Zuzu this weekend, Friday and Saturday. So check out the Hollywood Palms. And like I said, on Mondays, hats off to the Hollywood Palms for honoring our veterans and giving them free access to movies on Mondays. And Gina, what's the website that people could go to get tickets or find out more information about times?
www.hollywoodpalmscinema.com.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you so much, Zuzu, Carolyn Grimes, for being on the program today. And thank you, Donica and Gina from the Hollywood Palms,
too.
Thank you.
Great to have you guys.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Do you want to end it with that famous line again?
Sure.
I'm hearing bells ringing.
Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas, everybody. All right, don't go away. We've got Jim Gibbons talking about Our Lady of the Angels coming up just shortly. Hang in there.
I love my aunt Dolly.
Dolly, you are awesome.
Baby, 'cause I feel it. Hey everybody, it's David Lee Murphy, and you're listening to the Dolly McCarty Show.
Hey, this is Court Carpenter. Get your koozies ready to go, because you're listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
What's up, everybody? It's Dustin Lynch, and you are listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Well, I don't know. I'm a little slow today.
Take your time.
I have a hard time pressing buttons to play music today for some reason. Well, here we go. We haven't played a theme song yet. Jim, stand by. We're going to dance right now. Jim and I are dancing to the theme song.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Hey, everybody. All right, welcome back to the program. I want to welcome Jim Gibbons. He is a historian that's here today to talk about the Our Lady of the Angels fire. This fire, I'll tell you, if you live in Chicago or if you're born and raised in Chicago, you know about this fire. You just have to say it, and you know we all understand what happened. And it was such a tragedy on that, you know, tragic day, December 1st, 1958,
December 1st.
92
children and three nuns perished from that fire.
Yeah.
And it's considered the third worst fire in Chicago history.
Oh, I thought it was the second worst.
Third worst.
So the
third
Great
worst.
Chicago Fire is the first.
Well, actually, the first one was the Iroquois Theater Fire. Okay, that was the first one. Second one, Chicago Fire. And third is the Our Lady Angel School Fire.
Now, why the Iroquois Theater Fire?
There was about over 600 and some people killed in that fire. So that was a major, major, major place.
I grew up
That's
in Chicago.
That's where the
I
Oriental
never heard
Theater is today.
I was just there the other night at the Oriental Theater.
Yeah, so that's where the Iroquois Theater had been at that point. What happened was that people were trapped in that theater. It was for a kitty matinee, and the doors were locked on certain areas there. And so when the main curtains and things went up, stage went up, it came in on the children. They could not leave. They were trapped in there.
How did the fire start?
I want to say it started on the stage is where it started. Stage area. I would say a lamp.
600 people.
600.
As opposed to how many people perished in the Great Chicago Fire?
I don't think that many. But I don't know on that one.
We lost the city.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we did. A lot of wood. It was very, very dry, and everything just went right up.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Our Lady Angels. Our Lady Angels School fire should have never happened. But it did.
Why did it happen? When I was growing up, there was no definitive answer. What do they say? The police or the fire department concluded no definitive conclusion
arson.
On how that fire. But now it's arson.
Arson.
When did
arson.
They decide
it's
it was
never
arson?
Been, it's never. It, this was years ago on that. But there was a inspector in there, a fire inspector. His name was John Kennedy. And he came in and he found out where the origin of the fire was. It was in the northeast staircase. It started in one of those old trash bins that you'd see, those old, I think what you'd call like a fiber type cardboard trash bin. Mm-hmm. Very tall, and they had like a metal ring around the top. They used to have those years. And what they would do is they would put school papers in there, okay? School papers to dump them then from there. Into the furnace, you know, to keep the school nice and warm. What happened was a little 10-year-old boy wandered downstairs, okay? And according to several books, one of them is The Sleep of the Angels, The Story of a Fire by David Cowan and John Kenster, three matches were struck. Kid struck three matches, threw them into the bin, walked back upstairs, and sat and waited. This was between 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 3 o'clock by the time it walked back up. This thing became a blazing inferno. And
that's because school stairwells back then didn't have those fire doors.
Oh, my God.
So it just shot up right up to the top.
Well,
right?
Actually what it had was there was a door on the first floor. It was the second floor to where there was no door on there. The building had been grandfathered. And they were supposed to have doors on the first and second floors, but because they didn't have it on the second floor, that's how the fire really started to get moving down that hallway. Everything was made out of wood. The whole place was made out of wood. The building was built in 1910, and this is the north building.
And how many stories was it?
It was a two-story building. It actually was 2.5 stories, and that's why people could not get the ladders up. It is called an English basement. I have one in my home, of all things. An English basement adds light to the downstairs area, but it also adds height. So now, instead of a two-story building that you're looking at, you are looking at a two-and-a-half-story building. And that is the reason why the parents could not get their ladders up fast enough or high enough to get to those children on the second floor. The fire was on the second floor, and what it involved was the fourth grade, fifth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade. That's where the deaths were. The sixth grade was in there as well, but because of the janitor, Jim Raymond, he helped to save 40 of them in that building, in that area.
Let's talk about that janitor.
Yes.
Because didn't he take a lot of blame for that?
He took a whole lot of blame because they didn't know.
And that hurt him, destroyed his life.
It destroyed his life. The man, I believe they let him go. And because of that, I mean, what are you going to do with all those children? I believe he had like 6 or 7 children that he had. He had to support his family. That was his entire life. Mr. Raymond would be in there at 5:30 in the morning. That particular day, it was cold. It was 15 degrees. That was it, that December day. He was down there stoking that furnace. He had to get everything ready for the kids. So all the radiators, everything was nice and piping hot.
How old were his children at the time?
Oh, my gosh. All I can say is you had several of them in there. Several of them I was.
He had his own children in that building, and he got blamed for that fire?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In fact, one of his
How did he get blamed? What had that start?
Well, they said sloppy housekeeping. Sloppy housekeeping, oh my gosh. You know, he got all the stuff piled up downstairs, and that's the reason why this fire would happen, right? Well, I got a big question, too. I'll flip it over. Okay, sloppy housekeeping. What about McCormick Place? What happened to that? 1967. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a non-burnable building. No problem. Brand new. We had the houseware show in there. The whole thing went up. We lost all of McCormick Place. So that was a brand new building that was non-burnable, okay? Anybody's place could go up. I mean, my home could go up. Anybody's home could go
Why,
up.
Who said sloppy? Not the fire department. The fire department didn't blame
well,
him.
Well, it was
they?
Mainly, I guess, just people in general. I mean, you get that out because they're looking for somebody to blame it on. We don't know who did this. What happened? Was spontaneous combustion? According to, again, John Kennedy, who was the inspector in there, he said this started with human hands. That was in a perfect
Did he say that shortly after the fire?
Not long afterwards,
Not long
correct.
After.
When he went to look at the building, because, see, this is what's rather interesting, too. The building burned December 1st of 1958. It was torn down about February 15th of 1959. It wasn't there that long to inspect or anything, so this thing is gone. And so the fire inspector...
Well, parents didn't want it up, right?
No, they
the community
didn't.
Didn't want
oh, my,
it was
no.
Just
and plus, they had to do something
awful.
With all those kids.
Yeah.
You had 1,668 students. You got to put them someplace. At least that's how many there were at the time, around the time of the fire, was that many children in that area. According to Monsignor McManus, who was superintendent of schools, they asked him, they said, well, what do you want to do on the school? Shall we rebuild it? He said, are you crazy? There's going to be ghosts in there. No, we're not going to fix the old school up. We're going to tear it to the ground. We're going to put a brand new school in. So in 1960, the beautiful Our Lady Angel School came out to where we had all your steel in there, all your metal, no wood, you know, what like we had then. In fact, a year later, St. John of the Cross in Western Springs was built. That's where I went to school. Everything, steel, sprinklers. They had no sprinklers in their building at all, none. No sprinklers. They had like 2 fire alarms in there, which were way up high. They could have been like a little light
switch.
That
was the other question about the fire alarms at the school. Why didn't they go off? Or were those
hand-pulled? And they were high enough to where children could not touch them.
Is it true that the nuns hesitated to pull the alarm? There were 2 classrooms
have.
Where they escorted their kids out.
Yes. That was the lay teacher.
And then they went back in to pull the
See,
alarm.
What happened was very, very sad, okay, is you had the mother superior who was filling in for a teacher that was ill, okay? So she was all the way at the south. She was at the furthest point away, which would be the southeast corner of the building. Actually, southwest corner of the building was where she was in that classroom. In the meantime, all this stuff is taking place in the north building, second story. You've got all this happening, and she's not aware. I mean, we didn't have – there was no, the whole key is there was no direct connect to the fire department.
Yeah, we didn't have cell phones. They didn't have cell phones
no
back
cell
then.
No cell phones in there, but there was never a call placed from there either. It was strictly from the rectory. And when the lady who was in charge of the rectory, she had Jim Raymond again, came racing in there, says, you got to call the fire department immediately.
Jim Raymond, the janitor who got blamed.
Right. So what happens is he goes in there. Yep. He goes in there. He lets Nora Maloney know, and she's the lady in there who is, you know, cooking the dinner for the priests and things. And he says, call the fire department. They had no direct connect to the fire department, so it's now her verbally picking the phone up. What you do, call 911? There was no 911 back then. Nothing. So now she has to manually look this thing up, and as she calls the fire department, she says, okay, you know, where are you? Where are you? Well, I'm at the Lady Angels. Where? Oh, where am I? 3808 Iowa Street. She now gave the address of the rectory. So the fire department is heading directly towards the rectory. The rectory is right next door to the building. However, what happens is, you know, that's where we're told that's where we're supposed to be. So what Fire Commissioner Robert Quinn years ago said, fire travels faster than the fastest human being can run. Mm-hmm. So with that, you've got that problem. And when the call came in, they thought it was approximately 2:42 in the afternoon when that first call was made. This fire was already rip-roaring. They thought it could have been anywhere set from anywhere from 2:12 to 2:20 in the afternoon. So this thing was going. If you see, there's a WTTW DVD that's out. It's called Angels Too Soon. You can get it through Channel 11. It will show the cardboard box effect of that whole thing going up. It's like, oh, my God, those children didn't have a chance. I mean, that fire ate its way up that staircase. I mean, the staircase was made out of wood.
If the firemen got there even 20 minutes earlier, are you saying that?
Had they gotten there only a few minutes earlier, they could have made it. They could have made it because of the fact being, at least that's for the book. That's for the book. They needed a few more minutes to get in there, but this thing literally just exploded. It was that fast. The fire department was off of Huron Street. That was engine 85 that was off of there. They had like a team of five guys in there, and they were only 1 minute away. 1 minute. That's the whole reason why when you've got the entire hallway burning, okay, the nuns are out there looking at the hallway, there is no fire escape for most of the people going down to 25-foot drop. What's the nun going to do? We're going to get out our beads and start saying some prayers here. Don't stall for the fire department to show up.
Oh.
And so that's what happened. And they literally stalled and lost their lives along with the children. Yeah. Lost their lives.
Well, you know, you can't really blame people. No one ever blamed these nuns.
No.
They did what they knew. It's all about discipline. I grew up in a Catholic school.
Yes, so did I.
And it's all about discipline and listening and being patient. And I'm sure these nuns thought, the Lord surely will never take us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think they probably realized how bad the fire was.
Well, they
they
knew. You could not see your hand in front of your face.
So the smoke was really overwhelming.
It was
horrible.
They
didn't see the flames. So maybe they weren't educated to know that you can die from smoke inhalation.
No,
too.
you could see it. And oh my God, yes, they could. You could see that.
Okay.
Room 212. That's when a little girl by the name of Peggy Sansonetti was in that room. That's
right.
Her
picture?
Oh yeah, it's right here. That's little Peggy.
So Jim, why do you carry her picture around? Oh, she's
Peggy's like my little. Ironically enough, we had this Zuzu on here a few minutes ago. But she's my little guardian angel. And what happened with me, and I was 5 years old at the time of the fire. I was living in Weston Springs. And what happened with me between age 5 and all the way to my middle of my sophomore year, I started to have a reoccurring nightmare. And it matched the fire. And I didn't realize what was happening. I didn't know what to do. But what this was involved my home in Weston Springs. My home was built brand new, 1958. My father had the windows high in my bedroom, high. And so what this dream started out was I would come into my bedroom, and it's like, oh, my gosh, the door would suddenly slam shut. I'm like, oh, my gosh, the lights are going to go out. They're going to go out, and all of a sudden I'm falling over my furniture. I see an image at the window, but the window, the drapes are closed. All of a sudden what happens is I go towards the window where there's light trying to get out, and suddenly a big burly something opens the drapes, grabs me through the window, and I'm falling. I am waking up in my bed. I am deeply sweating. My heart is pounding, and the last thing I see is a little face. That little face was the face of Margaret Ann.
And you didn't even know her.
Didn't know her at all.
This is what keeps you going and You're honoring her by
oh my gosh, yes, that's why, and then all of them have come out from this, from honoring her. And literally, I didn't find out till I read The Sleep of the Angels, The Story of a Fire, that 25 of these 92 children are buried at a special memorial at Queen of Heaven Cemetery in Hillside. That's where my mom and dad are buried in Western Springs.
That's where my grandparents are buried. And so that was your connection. But you never, did you grow up and did you, when it happened, did you know about the fire?
Oh my gosh, yes. I was going to Forest Hill School in Western Springs. I was taking a nap. I was in kindergarten. When I came home, my mom was crying and crying and crying.
Oh.
And she said, I can't tell you what happened. It's just those poor children, those poor children.
Oh.
Following year, I went to a Catholic school, St. Cletus, and that's in LaGrange. That's all the first and second graders were talking about was that fire.
Okay. That fire changed. We're running almost out of time,
I'm
Jim.
Sorry.
I want to make sure. No, you've got a great story, and your presentation, I hear, is top-notch. So if you're not getting enough from this show because we only have so much time. Jim does presentations all over Chicagoland.
I'm going to be in Evergreen Park on Saturday, 1 o'clock at the Evergreen Park Library is where I'm going to be. Also, I want to say about the 16th, somewhere on Park Ridge Park District.
Oh, where?
So
the
Park Ridge
District?
Park District. I want to say it's around the 15th or 16th, somewhere around there.
We're close to where I'm at. Okay.
16th.
So let's talk, it was just a horrific day, and I've got stories that my parents and my aunts and uncles talk about with that fire and how it really affected us and a family. It kind of tore up the church there.
Yes,
families left.
Did.
They
oh
left
my God.
The parish.
They
were angry. It was a flight to the suburbs. And they joined Catholic churches out there. But I think it was just so painful for them to be there. But the stories that I've heard, I don't even want to repeat them because it's just horrific what happened. And I read the book, The Fire That Would Not Die. Do you remember that book?
Oh, by Michelle McBride,
She was in the fire. She was in eighth grade,
she was.
And her best friend
She lost
passed
at least
away.
Six of her friends that were there with her.
Yeah.
She wound
with
up...
burns all over. Is she still alive?
Oh, no, she passed away years ago. But the interesting thing was I was doing something for Del Webb Sun City, and when I was doing a presentation in there, somebody came up to me, a man in a wheelchair. And he told me, he said, you know what? He says, I hear you do Our Lady of the Angels. And I said, yes. He said, there was a woman who contacted me for years who was a burn victim. And all of a sudden, I haven't heard from her anymore.
Oh.
When I had my disability, he said, I wish I remember her name. I said, was it Michelle McBride? Oh, my gosh, that was her.
It was a good book. It was a really good book. Her personal
very, very
account
good.
Of everything.
This fire would not die.
So this fire changed the way...
everything that we
things
do
were
today.
Built. Schools were built. I was surprised. I grew up at St. Ferdinand's Parish on the northwest side of Chicago, and that was three stories.
Yes.
Three stories. I was surprised. But we had fire drills regularly.
Regularly.
And we had an amazing fire system. The alarms were loud.
Yes,
the firemen were on the scene within minutes. I mean, and we thank God, knock on wood, there's never been a fire at that place.
There has not.
We also had those fire doors in the stairwells.
Yeah.
There were fire doors, so because they understood from the Lady of Our Lady of the
Angels
fire,
you have
how
to have those doors,
that
chimney effect.
Yeah, the chimney effect. That's it.
Yeah.
So we learned a lot from that fire, and we also learned, like we were talking about earlier with my guest, Zuzu Bailey, Carolyn Grimes. You have to remember that life is precious, and it's about your community and taking care of each other. And that community suffered big time at that time, 1958, December 1st, the great Our Lady of the Angels fire. But, that faith community went on. And they go on, and they're stronger for
just
it.
Just been reopened, by the way. Back in 2012, it's April 14th, Cardinal George reopened the church after 20 years being closed. Today it's called the Mission of Our Lady of the Angels. It's a Franciscan father who's in there, Father Lombardo, and his nuns.
Yes.
All these beautiful nuns are in there. And
my mom there, too, for that celebration mass.
I was there that day.
Yeah.
I was there that day, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
So this is a Chicago story that will not die. The fire
that
will not die.
It will not die.
Like the book that Michelle wrote. Jim, thanks so much for coming on and sharing. I'm looking forward to your presentation. You got to tell me when you're going to be in Park Ridge. I'm looking forward to being there and hearing more about this. We kind of are throwing this all together really quickly. We only have so much time on
the
show.
That's understandable.
We have a few minutes, but thank you so much. I remember I contacted you months ago.
Yeah.
So, and we, here we are. And, so December 1st, 1958, we'll always remember those that perished, 92 children. And my heart goes out to our family, friends, the Episcopals, but there are countless amazing families
Many families.
With great faith still.
Yes, and, very, very much so.
Yeah, a lot of Italians in that community. That
that was 60% Italian, 30% Irish, and about 10% German and Polish in there.
Gosh, can't imagine that happening.
Oh, yeah.
It's unimaginable, but so that will never happen again.
Hopefully it will never, but you have to watch history repeating itself. Like Winston Churchill said, we must be vigilant.
Yeah.
Vigilant.
Good
we're not.
Good point.
We're in trouble.
Jim, is there a website that people can contact you? I know you do presentations on other things, too.
Yes.
What's your website?
Website for me would be www.jimgibbonshistorian.com.
Fantastic.
That's Jim Gibbons Historian.
Thank you, Jim, so much. And we almost have to close the show, unfortunately. God, I just wish the show was 2 hours. There's so much good news to spread and interesting stories to hear about, including this Our Lady of the Angels Fire. Everything we talk about on the show, we try to make it have it good and happy. But sometimes, you know, this is not such a happy story, but it's good to be reminded of this. And it's a reminder of how precious life is and a reminder about being fire safe. You know, if you've got that Christmas tree, the real tree, I got a real tree this year.
Yeah.
Make sure you're watering it and be conscious of that and get your smoke detectors and your fire alarms all checked and make sure everything, and this, especially this time of year, a lot of people don't, they're too busy. So this is a good reminder.
You know.
Be safe. Be safe, everybody, and take care of each other. That's what we say on this show every time. We take care of each other. I have to say, real quickly, you know, my favorite holiday gift list, I bring that out every year. I'm going to mention a few of them because I don't have time to mention all of them. I'll give you the rest next week. But I have to do a shout-out to Naper Nuts and Sweets. That's one of my favorite places to go. Talk about adventure. Oh, Top Golf, they're having a great New Year's Eve celebration there. That is a great date night, folks. And Clark's Car Care, give the gift of a peace of mind. I'm going to do a shout-out to my friend Matt over there. And also to Le Chocolat, one of my favorite places to get some dark chocolate. They make great gifts, too. So just a couple of places. I'll talk about more next week on the show. And, again, a hats off and a shout-out to our friends at Lyle Savings Bank, a new sponsor of the Dolly McCarthy Show. It's been a great show. Jim, thank you so much.
Oh, thank
again
you for having
for
me. It's
in
a great pleasure.
Maybe next year. Come back, and we'll talk about some more about the fire. We got to keep remembering it and honoring
those.
Next
year.
All right. Well, now it's time to end the show on a good note. Stay positive and be good, everybody. Be good to each other. And if you haven't done so already, please like the Dolly McCarthy Show on Facebook and on Twitter. And another quick shout out. Oh, my goodness. We have so much to talk about. To my friends over at Hacienda de la Cruz in Cabo San Lucas. Thanks for hosting me a couple weeks ago. I had the time of my life. If you want more information about that, go to reservations and check out Hacienda de la Cruz. They have a Facebook page, too, and check out where I stayed. It's amazing, folks. And I just want to do a shout-out and thank everybody over there for a great invitation. All right. We'll talk more about that next week. And, Jim, again, thank you for coming.
Thank you
to Zuzu Bailey. And our hearts and prayers go out to everybody in the families affected by the fire. Have a great week, everybody, and thanks for listening.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.